Scott with SJ Wealthfire.com. Final Days Report, episode 387, Plandemic 2.0. Folks, war on your food supply to ultimately poison, control, eliminate, and last, potentially even mark you. We're going to show some really demonic things with big academia, big tech, all linking to the globalist control system. But the first story that is beyond laughable. California Governor Gavin Newsom declares state of emergency over bird flu infections. And if you really read the state of emergency with the bird flu, it ultimately does multiple things. It allows the government of California to test and monitor everything. And if you really do a search on the bird flu, it destroys the egg supply from chickens, destroys poultry and eggs, destroys the pigs and pork because it's jumped over there supposedly. It destroys cattle and beef, that industry. Oh, by the way, it destroys dairy. Now, what else are they going to say the bird flu jumped over to? This is insanity. This is a war on God's creation, my friends. And you need to think about this state of emergency. The ultimate plan is to monitor with AI government. We've covered stories, multiple stories, about how in the UK they want you to register your chickens. Mark everything. They're going to test everything with their PCR tests that are ineffective, even according to the inventor, with false positives. We've covered at length multiple podcasts of how farmers are saying, my chickens aren't dying, they're not sick, but I'm being told to cull my chickens. What this is going to do is, well, it's going to eliminate the food supply. So it's going to drive prices up. That is ultimately seal three. A fourth ramification of this is it's going to consolidate the farming world, just like they're trying to do in Holland, because of cow farts. So it's going to make it hard for small farmers to compete. Number five, what they want to do is defile everything with their mRNA technology, this nanotech, this DNA war, as the days of Noah, where everything is defiled. And the last point is this whole climate scam. Under some of these different bird flu scare tactics, they're saying, oh, it's because of climate change. So even if people aren't getting sick from the flu, or the animals are getting sick from the flu, they're going to basically come out and say, oh, it's about the climate. This is control the food, kill the people. Let's read Revelation 6, seal 3. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. My understanding, this scripture basically is a day's wage for just some food. Now I'm going to tie this into the general, the Russian general that was just assassinated, who basically was investigating all the different bioweapon facilities in the Ukraine. Was he going to come out and launch and discuss something about bird flu? I mean, I wonder. It's a timely death. Let's play that video.
United States, in particular the investment fund Rosemont Seneca, which is headed by Hunter Biden.
Rosemont Seneca Partners is the firm tied to Hunter Biden, the U.S. president's son. And the Russian Defense Ministry is listing financial entities that are involved in these bio labs in Ukraine. Now, they also listed George Soros's Open Society Institute and Open Society Foundations, which are also involved with them, and as well as the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine and the Ministry of Health of Ukraine and the U.S. Department of Threat Reduction. All of them seem to be tied in with these bio labs. And it appears that that Rosemont Seneca Partners, the reason that they would be involved is because they have a relationship with Metabiota and Black & Veatch, which are main suppliers of Pentagon BioLab materials. Now, Moscow is also coming forward and saying that it appears These biolabs are connected with institutions and research organizations that are related to nuclear missiles. This is what was said.
The scale of the program is impressive. In addition to the military, the U.S. Agencies for International Development, the George Soros Foundation, and the Center for Disease Prevention Control are directly involved in its implementation. Scientific supervision is carried out by leading research organizations, including the Los Alamos National Laboratory, which developed nuclear weapons as part of the Manhattan Project. All these activities are carried out under the full control of the Pentagon.
Now, the over 30 biolabs are accused by Russia of being involved in weapons development and trying to develop biological weapons. Now, the USA denies this and insists they are simply research facilities. And we did hear acknowledgement of these facilities' existence from U.S. Undersecretary Victoria Nuland.
Ukraine has biological research facilities. We are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
The fact that that she expressed this concern about their possibly getting into the hands.
The somewhat encouraging news is that the H5N1 that's infected humans now has not generally caused serious illness. It predominantly causes a conjunctivitis and mild systemic symptoms. There's been one case of a person who actually went in intensive care and was hospitalized, but the overwhelming majority did not have serious disease. Now, let me tell you the sobering news. The sobering news is that that can change, because the virus infects more than one species, and we know it can infect pigs. Pigs are on farms with chickens and with cows, and chickens and cows can infect with their virus a pig, and then a human virus can go into pig, and then you could get a reassortment of a virus that has some of the dangerous qualities of H5N1 and some of the capability of spreading from human to human of a human virus. So that's what public health officials are concerned about, that when you have the circulation of this virus in multiple species, including a mixing bowl species like a pig, you might get a reassortment and a mutation that could make this something we really have to be concerned about. And that's the reason why the CDC says, although currently the risk in general is low, we still have to pay close attention to the possibility that that might change.
Right. Do you worry that we are not doing enough to sort of contain the outbreak in cows and chickens and other animals?
Well, you know, even going back to original COVID, when you listen to what I was saying in the early years of COVID, we've got to flood the system with testing. If you don't know the extent of the spread, you're really swimming blindly, as it were, not knowing where you're going. My recommendation, and I'm not alone in this, a number of my public health colleagues and my infectious disease colleagues say the same thing. We should be doing more widespread serosurveillance testing for the extent of the infection. Perhaps a large number of people are asymptomatically infected, and you really need to know that if you're trying to monitor what the spread of this virus would be.
Now, here's where it gets even more creepy. You need to think about how these globalists have tied in disease X. Then all of a sudden, Elon Musk, who one of our theories is Elon Musk is the false prophet. We've done a 3-4-part series. Is Elon Musk the false prophet bringing fire down from the heavens, right? He landed those rockets from space. Ooh, Neuralink tying you up to AI. AI is the fake God, omnipresent like God. And you can't make this stuff up. But we actually did a Bible study where we took a look at how the mark of the beast will be implemented by the false prophet. And oh, by the way, X, he wants to control over 50% of all transactions like WeChat. That is his goal. So all of a sudden in the propaganda deep state media, they've primed us for disease X. So here are just a bunch of headlines. Disease X, what to know about the unknown threat emerging in Africa. Oh no, mystery disease X with horror symptoms claims more victims, sparking fears of a new plandemic. That's my word, plandemic. Mysterious disease X outbreak might be malaria. What we know. It's marketing. I was a marketing executive for years. So they're making disease X look like some unknown disease that they will have the solution. And will the solution be the mark of the beast under the platform X? I mean, I'm just saying, my friends, there's no reason to cause the next disease, disease X. There's no reason to take Twitter, a multi-billion dollar brand, and change it over to X. This has occult symbolism all over it. When you look at Elon's companies, look at this. You have XAI that we've talked about within our series where he said this is could be our next god in Memphis. Then you have X that, again, will run financial systems. I'm wondering, will that be part of this Mark of the Beast system? You have Tesla, an upside-down witch logo that will control where you can drive. SpaceX and Starlink will be this beast tracking system. And then Neuralink, and I don't think you need a chip. You have neural lace with shot technology that we've proven that really maps and goes across the blood-brain barrier. 6G communicates at this and 5G communicate at the cell level. This is nothing short of optogenetics, right? The blue lights popping up everywhere. We've shown the video of optogenetics controlling a mouse to kill. But here's the convergence of big academia with big tech and the globalist elite, non-for-profits like the WHO. I mean, check this out. This is from John Hopkins University. Can we prevent the next pandemic, or I like to say plandemic, by preventing spillover of disease X? Look what the logo they're using in their article. They're using the Twitter X. They are priming you. Now, when you dive deep into John Hopkins University, that's as deep state of a academic institution you can get. Let's read a little bit about John Hopkins University, which has been involved in various collaborations and initiatives with organizations like the World Economic Forum, right out of the pit of hell, the United Nations pit of hell, and the World Health Organization. Event 201, right? They'll always do an event. They always do an exercise before it goes live. Event 201, John Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hosted event 201, a high-level pandemic simulation exercise. This event aimed to prepare the public and private leaders for a pandemic response. Then it went live and we actually had what we had. Number two, a pandemic preparedness or pandemic preparedness. John Hopkins Center for Health Security has worked with the WHO and other international organizations to enhance global pandemic preparedness and response. Public health initiatives. John Hopkins University collaborates with various UN agencies on public health initiatives. This helped that demonic Pact for the Future agreement that was signed that will take all of your rights and bring on this beast system. John Hopkins is right in front of this. So John Hopkins is talking and doing white papers on disease X, and they're showing the Twitter X logo. What do you say in the comments? It seems nefarious to me. But here's the ultimate goal. DARPA seeks an algorithmic theory of mind to predict, manipulate future behaviors. This is all optogenetics. This is why they have to jack you. We've proven it in all the different white papers that we've read.
This is why it becomes so important to understand the novelty and the viability of neuroscience as being leveraged as weapons. We then have the use of nanoparticulate agents, aerosolizable nanomaterials that can be breathed in and disrupt blood flow or neurological network activity, that can be used as an in-close weapon, or perhaps that can be used as a more broad weapon of disruption and or destruction. We also have the capability to utilize nanomaterials to get electrodes into a head and to create a vast array of viable sensors and transmitters. This is DARPA's N-cubed program, next generation non-invasive neuromodulation, utilizing these techniques and technologies to create vast arrays of implantable electrodes that need not be put into the brain surgically, that are then able to read from the brain and write into the brain remotely in real time. And there is a rapid pace. The prizes are big, economically, in terms of power as well. But there are risks and hazards. Yeah, there are conventions that are out there, but the question then arises, are these conventions not just necessary, but are they sufficient? These international signatory treaties have suggested that no, they're not. They're really not keeping their finger on the pulse of the rapid development of brain sciences, not only within the United States and its allied nations, but internationally, and sometimes in programs that utilize commercial veiling to be able to then hide behind in terms of what's being made available to make their military intelligence personnel better, to develop a whole arsenal of weapons, both kinetically and non-kinetically, that can then decrement the performance of competitors and adversaries.
Now, here's where it just even gets more interesting, is I think they needed to file you the Temple of God, right? The abomination of desolation. You need to give yourself as a daily sacrifice to Christ. And if they can influence you and take you away from Christ by jacking you with a wireless body area network, biohacking you. Check out Biden's executive order that he basically signed about bioengineering. This is front and center for these clowns. But if they launch another pandemic and make money dirty, and you can't go out and get a job unless you hack yourself with their nanotech crap, will this be the next foundation for the Mark of the Beast? Many people think the quantum dot tattoos record patient vaccine history under the skin. I'm on the fence on this. I don't think they need it, because we did our Mac ID test with the Bluetooth, showing that people that vaccinated themselves showed up as a Mac ID. They were marked. But here's where it just gets interesting. They're going to find ways to put this technology in you via plandemics, via health miracles, pokes to cure cancer. I just read an article from RT that said they have mRNA technology to cure cancer. Via increasing IQ, tying you up to AI with read-write capabilities. Elon Musk's own words. You know, we can actually give you and help you download data, DARPA as well. And we've played multiple podcasts, done multiple VCasts of them saying they can beat death. So I want to play two videos, one of a study on quantum dots as potentially the mark of the beast, really diving deep into the word of God. And then also I want to play a video of Rice University about nanotech and mind control. It's front and center, my friends.
And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. On the surface, a mark could be anything, but it's not just anything. We have a description. Did you see it within that verse? Since the New Testament is translated into English from the Greek, it is here that we find the description of the mark of the beast. Strong's Concordance G5480, when we translate this word mark within this text, the transliteration is karagma, which is by definition a scratch or etching, that is, stamp. In parentheses, we see as a badge of servitude. Further on, we see a sculptured figure, statue, graven, mark. So whatever it is, first we see that it breaks the surface of the skin via a scratch or etching of some sort, perhaps in some form of a stamp or this badge of servitude, a mark, right, that breaches the skin. Let's go even further and look at this root word right here, Strong's Concordance G5482. This word transliteration is karax. Root word etymology from karasso. Watch this. To sharpen to a point, akin to Strong's Concordance G1125, through the idea of scratching. See, once again, we see the connection to the scratching upon the skin. Look what else we're learning here. Not only will the mark of the beast scratch the surface of the skin, We see here that it's something that's sharpened to a point, and it's akin to the Strong's Concordance G1125. Transliteration, grapho, which means to write, with reference to the form of the letters. Further on, we see to delineate or form letters on a tablet, parchment, paper, or other material. This other material is indeed the skin. Even further, we see to write with reference to the contents of the writing, to express in written characters, to commit to writing things not to be forgotten. Write down, record. Up to this point, we see that the mark of the beast scratches the skin with something sharp, and it's writing something on the skin as a record. Interesting, isn't it? So that no man can buy nor sell without this mark. Now, when we get back to the root word karax, G5482, we see what the mark of the beast looks like. The Strong's definition says from karasso, to sharpen to a point, akin to G1125, right? Through the idea of scratching. A stake, that is, by implication, a palisade or rampart. Military mound for circumvallation in a siege trench. Moreover, the Thayer lexicon says a pale or stake, a palisade. A palisade or rampart. Pales between which earth, stones, trees, and timbers are heaped and packed together. We know what that looks like. So, the mark of the beast will look like stakes or palisades, like we see with the old style forts and fortified positions, except they will be small enough to scratch the surface of the skin and transfer written information. Keep in mind, if there's written information, there must be a system that is reading that written information. So what looks like this? Because the Thayer lexicon says that the mark of the beast is a stamp, an imprinted mark, and note how where it's placed on the body. Of the mark stamped on the forehead or the right hand as the badge of the followers of the Antichrist. That's what it says. Let's go back to verse 16 within Revelation chapter 13. The mark is placed in the recipient's right hand or in their foreheads. Take a look at this word in, and we will see yet another connection to the skin. And we've seen this word before relative to the skin. Epi, Strong's Concordance G1909. You just can't make this stuff up. Transliteration, epi. Thayer lexicon says upon, on, at, by, before. A position on, at, by, over, against, to, over, on, at, across, against. Right? What does this mean? What connects this word epi to the skin? Look at this. The layers of the skin. Epidermis, dermis, and the subcutaneous, which is the hypodermis. The epidermis is the top layer of the skin. Whatever the mark of the beast is, it will scratch the top layer of the skin, the epidermis. Write something that can be read by something else. And when looked at close up, it does look like stakes, palisades. So now, based upon this short study, we can see what the mark of the beast looks like close up.
This project started because the government was interested in developing better ways for us to connect to the brain. So we have this massive amount of data coming in, massive amount of data trying to go out. And they've been thinking, how can we make it more efficient for us to communicate? Normally, when we think about tapping into people's brains, we're like, whoa, hold on a minute. Like, I don't want to have some kind of surgical implant or microchip or something like that. And it's really not a viable way forward if we're just talking about a healthy subject or a healthy person, a healthy soldier trying to control his or her drone better. And so, given this fact that we want to be able to communicate more quickly with our external device, we don't want to have surgery. Can we come up with a non-surgical way, an external device, a helmet, a hat, that would allow us to capture signals from the brain and stimulate the brain as though we were sitting in front of a monitor? And that's the big idea, this non-surgical neural interface. So it sounds a little wacky. Is this even possible? And so we began by simply looking at what are the physical processes we could use? What are the techniques that might give us the ability to communicate with the brain through the skull? So we started this in a very exploratory phase, and we looked at how we might be able to use magnetic fields and how we might be able to use light. Both of these things can penetrate the skull, and we wanted to understand if signals from the magnetic field and from light would allow us to record and stimulate the brain.
As the magnet turns on, the flies are stimulated, so we're working to stimulate their brain using nanoparticles that I've already injected into the flies.
So when people hear about programs that are designed to build a brain interface, particularly programs funded by the government, people naturally get concerned. And what I want to make clear is that the systems we're developing are really designed to help patients. You know, the long-term vision is that maybe these technologies could help people who are healthy individuals who might want to have a better way to control a drone or other autonomous vehicles. But most immediately, what we're thinking about are ways that we can help patients who are blind. For example, individuals who have lost the ability to see, what scientists have been able to show is that if I stimulate parts of the brain that are associated with vision, those patients can get a sense of vision even though their eyes no longer work. And so the technologies that we're developing now are technologies to stimulate the brain in specific ways. And specifically, we're stimulating the parts of the sensory system so that you can recover a little bit of your sense of vision. And playing that forward to what this might mean for people in the private sector, people in the military, this would be an alternative to your display. And so the idea is that we would have some kind of a helmet that would be able to stimulate your brain in such a way that you would be able to see as though you had a display in front of you, a heads-up display, so to speak, that would be activating the parts of your brain associated with vision. One of the things that has helped us be successful with this program is that Rice has invested a lot of resources in creating a world-class neuroengineering program. So the Neuroengineering Initiative has allowed us to build out new lab spaces where we can bring the people on the team together into one physical location. And students and postdocs can move between the labs, they can develop technology in one space and move next door to another lab where they can test it. And all of these facilities and the excellent people that have come in to join the initiative is really the reason why we've been able to be successful.
All right, I highly suggest you check out the series, Is Elon Musk the False Prophet? Personally, I think these leaders are actors, including Trump. Most of his corporations are given to him, driven by corporate contracts. And we really tie a lot of these to scripture as well. And if you're a big Trump fan, folks, look at Final Days Report episode 382 or go to SJ Wellfire and actually search, do your own search on Trump. I think it's wings of the same bird. We have the satanic side on the left. It's just pure evil and wickedness right in your face. And then we have false light, this age of Aquarius. And here's just another indicator of this. I thought this has gone viral. Of these Trump NFT cards. My understanding, it's like a baseball card, except it's digital, these NFT cards. I've done some research on them. But this woman does an excellent job of breaking down these NFT cards to the Book of Revelation and the Antichrist. Could be just another psyop, but keep your eyes on Jesus and have no fear. These are words from the End Times Reveal. But listen to this. What do you say in the comments? This is crazy.
Donald Trump tells us he's the Antichrist through his digital NFT cards because so many of these cards match the prophetic Antichrist scriptures. Are you ready to see these? The first seal in Revelation 6 talks about the rider of the white horse that carried a bow and went forth conquering and to conquer. The second seal describes how the beast is given power to take peace from the earth and how he is given a great sword. The third seal is describing that the Antichrist receives a pair of balances. And if you notice, there's also a sword in his other hand. When the fourth seal opens, we see that he rides in on a pale horse. This card fulfills two scriptures, the first being in Daniel 7:23, where it talks about that the Antichrist will devour the whole earth and tread it down, exactly what that's showing in this card. The second one being Revelation 13:2, where the Antichrist has the mouth of a lion. Now, this fourth beast also represents Nebuchadnezzar. We know how Nebuchadnezzar wanted to be worshipped, so just like that, the Antichrist in Revelation 13:4 also wants to be worshipped. And look at this card that Donald Trump has created of himself. Kind of looks like a golden calf, doesn't it? Daniel 11:37 shows that he magnifies himself over every god. And remember, we cannot serve God and money. Daniel 8:25 again is a verse that describes the Antichrist and how he magnifies himself. Look at how he calls himself the greatest of all time and Super Trump. Those muscles. Trump's NFT card of his mugshot perfectly aligns with 2 Thessalonians 2:8, where he is called the lawless one. And in this card, he is shown breaking all restraints of the law. We know the Antichrist will have mighty satanic power, and here he is in these cards showing power that is satanic. Daniel 7:25 tells us the Antichrist will change laws and Project 2025 will do just that. Here he is on his NFT card standing in front of two presidents. One was for trade, the other was for civil rights. He's blocking those two and has added his own face on Mount Rushmore instead. This is his card showing him as George Washington because that's what he wants to do. He wants to wipe out all the rights that we have gained since that president. Daniel 11:39 tells us the Antichrist will have strange gods. Here he is on his card holding a thunderbolt just like Zeus. Here's another with the strange gods. Donald Trump's card. He's holding an orb in his hand just like Jupiter does. Revelation 13:7 tells us the Antichrist makes war with the saints and is given power over peoples and nations, hence the Trump world and the rifle. Here's one of the scriptures that talks about the abomination of desolation sitting in the holy temple. Get into that position in the first place. They've got to be good friends with Israel. Daniel 8:9 tells us that the Antichrist starts small but waxes great. This Trump card shows him holding a flag as a nationalist, but then moving on to conquer the world. We know the name of the Antichrist is the Beast, and the name of his car, the Beast. Donald Trump knows who he is, and he openly tells us through his digital NFT card. He is the Pharaoh that opposes God and his purposes and holds souls in captivity. Remember that those who stand with Pharaoh suffer with Pharaoh. For those that continue to stand with the Pharaoh Antichrist Trump, repent, because he is fulfilling all of these prophecies.
So let's summarize. Bird flu? Come on. Disease X? Come on. John Hopkins University using Twitter's X logo for Disease X research? Elon's companies, nothing short of the beast system, enslavement companies? You need a tech executive to bring on the mark of the beast. Period. Never forget, Elon was part of PayPal. Folks, we're living in absolutely wild times, and we need to pray against this. We need to pray that the bird flu scam falls on its face. I pray that there's so many independent farmers, they're too many to scrutinize. They're too many to actually go after. Be a rebel. Be a farmer. Thank you for your support. I'm going to do one on the Catholic Church, opening up the five portals, tying it potentially to all the things people are seeing in the skies. It is just getting wild. Tying it to that Notre Dame demonic reopening. Do you have eyes to see how wicked it's getting? Google's new chip. New quantum computer called Willow Folks, they are opening doors to the pit of hell. Great time to be alive. God bless.
What would a better vaccine look like? Even though these vaccines do an incredible job of preventing severe disease and death, they do not protect you from getting infected. We want to change it so that anybody who's gotten that vaccine cannot be infected again, taking them completely out of any transmission chain. We would also like to have vaccines that you can just take once and you don't have to go back and keep getting boosters again and again. They should be made so that they can be transported at normal temperatures without refrigeration. All these COVID vaccines require the use of a syringe, and we'd like to get rid of that. We could just have something like a patch. Finally, manufacturing can be scaled up even faster. Although pharmaceutical companies broke every record here in now making billions of these vaccines, what would be ideal is being able to make enough for the entire world in less than 6 months. We have to do better next time.